Aloha. This is James, your host for the Green Tea Podcast here at Kauai Community College, where we discuss and explain sustainability ideas and news weekly from a variety of perspectives. Here I'm joined by Jesse Brownclay, project coordinator for Zero Waste Kauai, also a conservationist and consultant. So, Jesse, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, James, for having me. Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. So, to get right down into it, being a project coordinator for Zero Waste Kauai, can you explain this concept of zero waste, what it means?
Yeah, I mean, I'll do my best. I'll try. It's a broad topic. I'd say it's a philosophy, way of life, kind of looking at the way of looking at the big picture. Mm-hmm. You kind of think from the name that it's, you know, dealing with trash and like how and reduce, reuse, recycle, and like how you deal with your trash, making mm-hmm. sure you recycle a bunch, maybe don't throw anything, zero waste, don't throw anything away. Mm-hmm. But I think what I've learned over the last couple of years that I've been involved in the industry is that it's more about the way we live our lives and the relationships we have with ourselves, mm-hmm. With the world around us, with our natural environment, and also with stuff. And so turns out that the most important part of zero waste philosophy is the front end. It's what you buy, it's what you choose to consume, and that determines what you have to deal with on the back end with your trash. And really, it's about changing the way, you know, maybe really it's about not buying as much stuff and mm-hmm. Random kind of junk that was only going to last for a little bit and then it's going to have to get tossed, which has an impact on, you know, our environment. Here mm-hmm. we live on a small island. And it's a closed loop system. We bring a lot of stuff in, mm-hmm. and we only send a little bit of stuff out. So most everything is staying here. And mm-hmm. right now we're kind of burying it in the dirt, which we call a landfill. And you know that has some impacts. But maybe we can dive more into it. Mm-hmm. But it's really about, looking at what you buy, what you use, mm-hmm. and going from single use stuff and short term thinking to long term thinking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very, very key. Speaking of stuff, that reminds me of this YouTube video called The Story of Stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very informative. So if you're listening to this, you should definitely watch that. Because people don't really consider the supply chain when they buy products, how it got there, you know, how it affect the communities, the environment, all of that. So it's essentially, you know, this whole idea that Why do we have to have waste? We've kind of, as consumers, become accustomed to the fact that when you buy something, it has a death, I guess you could say. It has a grave. Mm-hmm. So this whole idea of opening the loop, so when a product is done, it's just recycled so it can be used again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's where we're going. It's incredibly hard to be zero waste, but you know, I know you yourself are doing a lot of good work trying to get us there. So
yeah, one thing one simple way I like to think about it is I have my grandpa's tools, and those were tools that he had when he was, you know, in his younger professional career. He mm-hmm. worked in the oil fields in California, and I have like his old pipe wrenches. I have his old shovels. I have, and that stuff, it was built really well, and it's still around. And so I think just a couple generations ago, the stuff that was made in the world was built to last, mm-hmm. and I can still use his stuff today, and versus what, you know, I find in Home Depot today or Ace Hardware, doesn't mm-hmm. last as long, breaks, got to buy a new one,
yeah,
kind of thing. And so it's just like there's that whole idea of like planned obsolescence, and
especially in the tech industry,
right?
It's terrible.
Yeah,
as you all know. Because you, the viewer, probably have an iPhone right now, that you're probably going to need to get a new one in like a year or two.
Right.
But essentially, as time goes on, it should be longer between when you get phones, but it's only getting shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you remember the flip phone that lasted like 8 years?
Man, I have memories of around KCC, like the Nokia, I had the Nokia brick, mm-hmm. and I'd like left it out in the parking lot in mm-hmm. the grass for a weekend, and it rained all weekend. And the phone had gotten like run over and was like uh-huh. split open and was like and getting rained on, and I just took it home, threw it in a bag of rice, dried it out, and it turned right back on.
Wow. Well, that just shows you right there. So moving on from zero waste, kind of, I mean, in a way, part of Zero Waste, yeah, is recycling. So in regards to recycling, I wanted to know your opinion on it, because you tend to see a lot of people who think it's all good don't really realize the bad in certain kinds of recycling. So what's your opinion on recycling?
Yeah, so I got a lot of thoughts on it, and kind of have lost a little bit of my hope in the recycling industry as I dive more and more into it and get more and more information on about how it works. Essentially, I was, you know, we were raised our whole lives thinking that it's this green thing to do, and if you recycle, you're taking care of the environment. But recycling itself is a pretty intense process. It's essentially smelting or melting things down, and which gives off, you know, puts off a lot of off gases. Yeah. There's a huge environmental impact to the actual recycling process. You know, smelting aluminum, smelting plastic, trying to paper recycling. It's like a paper mill, and pulping and stuff like that can have a big impact on nearby rivers, water tables, the ocean, stuff like that, and communities too, because all this stuff is smelly and toxic. And so recycling itself is kind of intense. And then, as many people listening might know, in January 1st of 2018, we had a lot of big changes in the industry when China implemented the National Sword Policy and stopped receiving a lot of our recycling, something I didn't really know my whole life. But when we recycle here in the United States or in Europe, when the Western world recycles, we're essentially sending, we're just shipping our trash to Asia. And so something really important to know for me that kind of blew my mind when I learned was that it's like, oh, why is there all this plastic in the ocean? There's a few different sources, but I think 80 to 90% of plastic in the ocean comes from nine rivers in Asia. And so it's from ground dumping in Asia. And then so the first thought is like, oh, all these Asian countries are, you know, dumping and they're polluting and ruining the Pacific Ocean and the oceans around the world. The reason why they have so much stuff to dump is because we are sending them all of our trash. So we are complicit and responsible in the plastic pollution issue in the ocean, because we are, by recycling and how we've dealt with trash over the last 20 or 30 years, we've sent our plastic and all of our stuff over there, and we overwhelm them and their systems, and they have to burn it or landfill it themselves or dump it in their rivers, and it's poisoning their people and their environment, and China doesn't want to do it anymore. So other smaller countries have started to take it on, but even they are getting overwhelmed, and so they're kind of closing their ports to all this stuff. And so we're needing to really, you know, what seemed like a really bad thing actually turned out to be a good thing, because we have to rethink this whole game and this whole industry. And something for where I'm at right now, what I've been told by people much smarter than myself, is that we need to continue recycling. It's still a good thing that we try to reuse materials. There are some really, really smart people trying to assess what is environmentally friendly to recycle, or what's worth it to reuse. And it turns out they've done all these studies over the these life cycle studies. And some materials, it's actually more worth it to just throw it away. It's a larger carbon and environmental footprint to try and recycle it than it is to just throw it away. And but that's not very easy for us as individuals or consumers to discern. So for the people out there listening, it's like, it's still important to recycle, and just know that it's a part of a bigger conversation about how we use stuff and how we throw stuff away.
That's perfect. And with that whole trio, you know, not many people notice, but recycles at the end of reduce, reuse, recycle for a reason, because ideally we reduce the amount of stuff we bring in, we reuse those things, and then at the very end we recycle it. But we're getting, it's from a majority standpoint, it's like, oh, I'm gonna keep purchasing, you know, 100 water bottles every 2 weeks because I'm recycling them, not understanding the process that goes on to make that 100 water bottles again, and how energy intensive it is and environmentally intensive it can be. So well, that's really good to know. That kind of gears into also what I was curious about talking to you with, was consumption habits. So from my perspective, it seems like people purchase single-use things more so just from a convenient standpoint. I mean, it's easy, it's nice, it's already filtered. And honestly, it feels good throwing stuff in the trash, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, like back in the day, trash basketball, you know what I mean? I literally played that in elementary school.
That's funny.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you yourself know, you know, it's such a hard conversation, but like, how can we change these consumption habits we've had for so long? Because now we know better. Before, we didn't really know better, but now we know better, but it still goes on.
Right. Yeah. You know, as I've dove deeper, however you guys let me know about my grammar, into the world of trash, it can get pretty dark and despairing. But if anything, I kind of want to leave people with like a story of hope, because it's an opportunity for change, an opportunity for growth, an opportunity to do better. And so, like you were talking about, recycles at the end of the 3 R's, mm-hmm. reduce, reuse, and that there's some. It's exciting. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. So, what it means is like it's an opportunity for more DIY or do-it-yourself culture, mm-hmm. and fix-it-yourself culture. And on Kauai, you know, we have our own unique set of circumstances, mm-hmm. but I know on the mainland there's a lot of places popping up, community centers popping mm-hmm. up where people come together to learn how to fix things together. They have like clinics or workshops and
oh, wow.
yeah, and so it's more challenging mm-hmm. to do stuff ourselves, and I've been on this journey myself for a long time, and I'm still finding a balance, because sometimes it's really nice to go to the store and just buy something new,
of course,
but sometimes if I want like a bed frame to put my mattress on, instead of going and buying a bed frame or a box spring, I have some old wood lying around and got to build myself a bed frame. And like with garden beds or we have access to the internet and YouTube, and mm-hmm. you can watch a video on how to build or do almost anything. And so we have an opportunity to, practice and do new skill sets. And yeah, it takes longer to try and fix things yourself or do things mm-hmm. yourself, but maybe there's some kind of little gem in there about, it's not just about how much stuff we get done mm-hmm. or how much stuff we have or how, you know, productive or effective we are, but it's more in like the art of the doing, kind mm-hmm. of like the process of just like learning and being hands-on.
Yeah.
And it's really a beautiful experience. I just mm-hmm. tell people, Craigslist, you know, amazing resource. Facebook buy and sell. Everybody has too much stuff right now. I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate. Thrift stores are full. It's hard to get rid of stuff. Everybody has a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try and trade and buy and sell with each other and kind of reuse what we got mm-hmm. and make it nicer. So it's kind of just, it's a whole mentality shift
yeah.
and a culture shift. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, instead of, you need something, instead of just going to the store to buy it,
yeah.
think about it. Are there friends? Is there family?
Mm-hmm.
Are there people online that you can kind of access
mm-hmm.
to use more, you know, reuse?
Yeah, reuse, exactly. Because there's so much, you know, like that old saying, someone else's trash, someone else's treasure. So,
right.
And that's awesome. I didn't really know there's, you know, that big push on the mainland kind of bring community together to learn how to fix things. Because, yeah, most people don't know how to fix things. I don't even really know how to fix most stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but that's definitely a skill I want to become more adept to. That's key. And going back to the community, I mean, that's a big, big, nice way to bring community together, especially now when our political climate is so divisive, especially here in the States. It's nice to see people come together, whether it's, you know, learning how to fix stuff or making a community garden or
mm-hmm.
any of that. So, yeah, Jesse and I were just talking about, we were actually just talking trash, I should say.
Yeah, all day.
All day, trash all day. And, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, it is, but it's also going to be a big employable field because, I mean, go look at the Pacific Garbage Patch, you know, go look at our landfills. There's a lot of work to be done.
There is. If anything, it's an exciting, I never thought I was going to be working in the trash industry, but I'm excited to be part of it now because there are many issues within it, and that it means there's a lot of opportunities for solutions and innovation,
mm-hmm.
businesses,
yep.
Jobs, positions, and mm-hmm. so I'd say that there is, if you have a creative idea about how to tackle some of these issues, I think that there is opportunity to, you know, create a business around it. And within reusing materials, helping teaching people how to fix stuff, or providing a space for people to come together to do stuff like that, dealing with our trash and recyclables and our compostables more efficiently. And so you said one man's trash, another man's treasure.
I'd also say
one person's food waste, another person's amazing soil amendment for growing food.
There we go.
And so there's tons of opportunities out here.
Speaking of food waste, I got to hit my green fact of the day, as we do here on the podcast. So here in the United States, roughly 30 to 40% of the food supply is wasted. By the way, these estimates are based off of the USDA's Economic Research Service. And this kind of this pretty much corresponds to approximately 133 billion pounds of waste and $161 billion worth of food. Just gone.
Jeez.
And this is happening while we still have tons of hungry people within the U.S., within my home state, Virginia, within here on the island. You know, there's hungry people everywhere. And it's also at a time when our soil health is at a breaking point. So how do you think composting and dealing with this food waste that is just an absurd amount, how can do you think that can help this problem? Composting.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. I think compost is going to help to save the world and help us deal with a lot of our issues. So, you know, we talked about recycling, and I'm not as hopeful or optimistic because it's hard to deal with stuff like plastic and aluminum and all that. We got some really toxic stuff that we've used to wrap our food in. And, you know, it's part of almost every aspect of our life. But compost, turning your food waste back into dirt. That is really good for growing plants and growing food. I mean, plants can provide so many different services to us humans. And so that's where I see real opportunity, especially here on Kauai. Recycling, it's unrealistic that we can't afford to build any of the infrastructure here on the island to actually do our own recycling, and nor do we have enough people or stuff to recycle to make the, you know, millions of dollars of investment in infrastructure worth it. But composting, so we have to send all our recycling off island, and there's a huge carbon footprint to burn, you know, these diesel engine boat engines shipping
like
our
mega,
shipping our stuff all across the oceans, either to Asia or to the mainland United States. Compost, on the other hand, we can deal with right here. And so in 2016, the county hired some consultants. We did a study of what we're throwing away in the Kekaha landfill. They looked at how much we're throwing away and what types of stuff we're throwing away. For everybody out there, take a guess at how much we were throwing away in 2016. My guess is we're throwing away more now in 2019. But our numbers are 200 tons every day into the Kekaha landfill. It's 400,000 pounds of material that we bury on the west side. That affects our west side communities, soil health, oceans, all of it. And 10% of that, in the study, we found that 10% of that's food waste. It's pretty good in comparison to other places around the world. But that's 40,000 pounds of food waste every day that we're that we're throwing away. And that material can, instead of going and causing leaching and causing all this methane to be generated in the landfill, which is way gnarlier greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide, we could collect it, compost it, turn it back into dirt, and grow food with it. And we can do that all right here on Kauai. And then there's all these crazy studies coming out right now that have been going on for a long time, being done by really amazing scientists. And they're finding this very interesting thing that if you take finished compost and you spread it out on the ground, especially stuff like rangeland and pasture land where cattle are grazing, but essentially just spread compost out on the ground, it sucks carbon out of the air. And with climate change, if you believe in that kind of stuff, to those of you who do or don't, we got a lot of carbon in the atmosphere that we need to learn how to suck out. And people are trying to develop all these technologies that cost, you know, billions and billions, of dollars to be essentially be big vacuums. And then it's like, what do we do with all the carbon? We have all these natural processes that are carbon sinks that that suck carbon out of the atmosphere. Compost, it's called land applying compost. It does that. It sequesters carbon. And so to help us deal with, you know, some of the issues that we're expecting to face in the future around extreme weather events and ecosystem degradation. We can collect our food waste, compost it, grow food out of it, and suck carbon out of the atmosphere at the same time. So I think that's where we should focus on. I think that we need to essentially say, we need to push our politicians to say that it's not okay to create some laws. I think we got to hit this from every angle. I don't think it's just about the government doing stuff or individuals doing stuff or businesses. We all got to work together. We got to collaborate to solve these issues. And that's what it takes from the bottom up, from the top down, from all angles, inside out. And so one thing that can happen is getting our politicians to make some laws around banning food waste and organics. Organics is anything that decomposes from the landfill, and creating opportunities and infrastructure to collect that stuff and to compost it correctly and turn it into dirt, and to support local agriculture, grow more food here, reduce our carbon emissions, all that kind of stuff. You know, grind some delicious Ono local fruit food, all that stuff, and create local jobs for people, local green jobs for people in the process. And so that's part of why I think compost is going to help save the world.
Yeah, I mean, it hits every angle, you know, profit, planet, people. So it's, and there's so much, I mean, there's way more jobs needed for composting than there are for landfilling. So, and it involves like highly technical jobs too, like engineers and scientists as well, but also people collecting it, tending to it, and all that. And like you said, I mean, the power of it to just naturally, excuse my voice crack, just to naturally sequester carbon.
You sound great.
Thanks, Jesse. But yeah, just to naturally sequester the carbon like that, it's almost too good to be true, it is true.
Yeah, it is true, and there's ways to do it better, and there's awesome scientists helping us to figure that out, and you can do it at home.
Yeah, let's do a little for our viewers. If you, you know, how do they compost at home? How do they do it themselves? Anyone can do it.
Anybody can do it. A lot of great resources out there on the internet. Quick and dirty is that have some kind of collection bin in your kitchen. You know, you can essentially have a like a plat. If anybody buys greens at the grocery store or at Costco, they come in these big like plastic tubs. You can use that, or you can like get a nice fancy cool silver metal compost bin, anything that you could put your any food scraps in your kitchen. And then when that thing fills up, you'd have a place out in your yard or garden or like off your back porch. You don't need a lot of space to do this, and if you do it right, it doesn't smell. And you can either build yourself a larger container. This is what's going to be out in your yard. You can build yourself. I took some old recycled wood that I collected from an old construction site, and built like kind of a square bin, essentially, and lined it with wire, so that the scraps couldn't fall out the sides. And I dump my kitchen scraps into that, and then I add some source of dry material, so I can use leaves that fell on the ground. I can collect bamboo leaves or mango leaves from my trees, or right now I have some wood chips, and I throw some wood chips in there from my tree trimming services, and then kind of let that stuff break down. You don't have to do too much. Every once in a while, you want to take a pitchfork and you want to kind of turn it over and flip it. And there's easier ways to do that. I'm happy. If anybody has any more specific questions, maybe I'll throw some contact info on these on the podcast details, and you can always contact me. I can tell you more about it. But give it time, and with time, you know, time heals all things. And
time heals.
Yeah, breaks all that compost down into soil.
Yep.
And doesn't have to be smelly. Doesn't have to be stinky. You don't need a lot of room. If you want to, you can go to the county and for free. They will give you full free. They will give you something they call an earth machine. I like to call it the Darth Vader helmet.
It looks like Darth Vader.
Yeah. It's a black plastic bin that you can sit outside in your yard, and that you can throw your food scraps into. You don't have to build your own. And, yeah, do it right there.
Perfect. Well, hopefully our viewers will, you know, look into it. It's something anyone can do. On the mainland, you're seeing a lot of community composting going on, and like you said, it goes perfectly with growing plants plants like it better, the soil better. So with community composting usually comes community garden. Mm. So now you have people coming together, evolving around something we all need, which is good food. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much bad food out there. Even produce that's, you know, considered good food, if it's coming from some monoculture site that's, you know, wrecked with pesticides, you know, it's, I mean, you could have a whole debate about if that, how healthy that really is.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's for another podcast.
I just touch on it real quick. I've heard you mention, like, community coming together. Mm-hmm. And for anybody who's wondering why that's kind of, like, a thing or important, just comment on, you know, in the world today, we see a lot of anxiety, depression, suicide, mm-hmm. social and mental discomfort. And for me personally, there's some amount of, there's been a breakdown in the way we relate as humans, as people, as friends, as family. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we're looking down at our screens a little more than we're looking at each other. And so opportunities for us to all come together and cruise, talk story, mm-hmm. you know, Kani Kapila, jam, have fun, jam. be at the beach, be anywhere, is good. It turns out it's good for, you know, our minds, yeah. our bodies, our souls, all that stuff. Good mm-hmm. for the heart, to come together. So coming together and gardening turns out super fun. Mm-hmm. You put some music on,
yeah.
jam, grow some food, watch the plants grow,
yep.
and then cook some good food together. All that stuff, super good. So community coming together is the way to be.
It's key, yeah. And that's very true. We're in a very troubling time regarding mental health. Mm. You know, we're learning more about what can help with that. Regarding from a bunch of different angles, but bringing community together, coming together, you know, that's a big, big important thing.
Relationships, meaningful relationships in our lives.
There we go.
And there, it's not easy to do, and it takes time. But it's like this guy that I like, he has a really good talk on it, and it's like we see the top of the mountain and we just want to be there, mm-hmm. And it turns out that there's a whole mountain we got to go up, and that's the process of building relationships and building trust and being with each other through hard times, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's all I can say is that it's worth it.
It's totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, we just got kind of deep.
Bam.
To switch gears over to plastic.
To heck with it.
Yeah, to heck with it, exactly.
That's the podcast-friendly language I'll use. Yeah. If you guys want to talk later, we can
use some other choice words for yeah. it. So, yeah, what are some good alternatives, you think, to reduce plastic use? You know, it's hard. It's everywhere. It's in our face.
Yeah, every single part of our life. I'm, like, wearing plastic right now. Yeah. I'm part of, like, you know, the shorts that I'm wearing, the mm-hmm. phone in my pocket, the sunglasses on my head, you know, yeah. everything around us, the furniture, yeah. the things we use, everything. So that's a good question. Maybe it's like plastic is a really cool material and it is super useful for certain things. Mm-hmm. And then we got really excited about it and we gave up on other materials because it was cheap to make mm-hmm. and lightweight for shipping. And we could mold it and form it into all kinds of different shapes and functions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe we got to reevaluate that we use plastic in certain functions for certain things that where it's really important or useful. Mm-hmm. And in places where we don't need it, that we choose to use other things like materials that break down or are biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
So one area for me is like the packaging industry. I think we could rethink the whole thing, mm-hmm. redo the whole industry. And there are some really awesome people and groups. If you go online and look at the packaging industry and like bio packaging and, you know, environmentally friendly packaging, there's some really exciting projects coming out. They're you know, remaking the plastic water bottle and Coca-Cola bottle. They're
yeah.
remaking how we shrink wrap and surround wrap stuff. One thing that I'm seeing in Asia that I really like, mm-hmm. Especially if we start to, you know, if you like local agriculture, and we want to support more of that, we want to see more of our own homegrown food, is wrapping stuff in banana leaf. Yep. We got all kind of cool leaves on this island we could wrap food in. And
yeah.
so this unfortunate thing is nothing is simple. I don't know. It is simple. It's not simple.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to get the state to deregulate certain Department of Health permitting and regulations around food safety. Mm-hmm. And we'd have to make some really smart decisions about, is it safe to wrap stuff in banana leaves? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how can we keep our health and our people and our community safe? But there's a lot of regulations out there that could ease up and allow us to not throw as much plastic away.
Mm-hmm. Totally, yeah. Right here, I don't know if you've seen this before. I'm showing Jesse. It's kind of like a pod, and the wrapping is seaweed.
Nice.
And that's water in there. So it was made from a startup. I can't remember where. Maybe Switzerland or something. But essentially, they're trying to eliminate the whole plastic water bottle industry, because that's a very dominant. I mean, so many people drink plastic water bottles.
It's something like, somebody out there, you know, fact checked me, but it's something like 2 million or 20 million water bottles every second is purchased.
Oh my.
Yeah, around the world. It's like, yeah, something like that. But yeah, James has shown me photos of water pods. They look cool.
Yeah, they're really cool. Check them out. Just look up seaweed water pod. It's the future, potentially, you know, because that's another thing to consider, because, you know, when there's a natural disaster, and let's say all the water pipes are cracked or destroyed, they kind of need to bring in water in something, you know? So they typically bring millions of water bottles in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, bringing in something like this, water pods, or just something that doesn't involve plastic while also serving the need it was supposed to. So going back to zero waste and zero waste events, I've actually helped Jesse. Jesse and I did some zero waste at the Folk Festival here on island. That was really fun. So just going back to zero waste events, what are some cool zero waste projects you've done since you've been doing this a while?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been in the game for a few years, and it's been really exciting the whole time. Zero Waste Kauai aims to educate, advocate, help Kauai transition to dealing with their trash better. And sorry, I'm just collecting my thoughts here.
No, collect them, man. Yeah. And I've done a lot of cool ones. So.
Yeah, so we get hired to help events be zero waste to the as much as possible. I think being zero waste is essentially impossible, mm-hmm. unless you don't throw an event or like don't do much, or just don't buy or use anything.
Yeah,
just jam pretty much. just jam, just ukulele, jump. Cruise around a fire kind of thing. Events are really cool. You know what I've been told is that the amount of waste that we diverted at the event is a kind of a drop in the bucket. It's not actually moving the needle at all in regards to the landfill, but it is showing people, it's an education opportunity, and showing people that there's a different way to deal with trash, and that we can throw stuff into multiple bins and sort it and dispose of it in different ways. And I've worked events where all day long I will not pull one trash bag out of the trash can, but I will pull compost bags all day long. And I've had events where I'll have 20 bags of compost before I pull one bag of trash. Wow. And all of those composting bags are going to Mark Freeman on the North Shore and his composting facility, Heart and Soul Organics, and he's taking compostable material and food waste and turning it back into dirt for farmers to use. And then the trash goes to Ke Kaha. And so that system works really cool. We got some other really cool things going on. Mm-hmm. We're in schools right now teaching kids about composting and sustainability, and showing them and talking about trash and trying to get kids to think about it, mm-hmm. and then get those kids to go home and talk to their parents.
That's where you make the change, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Some really exciting stuff is happening. The county is working on a styrofoam ban. Mm-hmm. Mayor Kawakami actually requested that we begin to work on a styrofoam ban, so I thank the mayor for his efforts in being environmentally friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a styrofoam ban coming down the pipeline, and we're working on some other stuff like a food waste ban, but there's a lot of stuff we got to figure out before we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Other cool... Wow. Yeah, I'd love to, in the future, I'd like to help hotels and businesses and schools all do better at how they deal with their trash. So...
Totally.
And anybody who wants to get involved, we are an open group that you can come and be part of and get involved in these projects. And I've being involved has led me to getting paid to do something that I love to do, which is Malama Aina and Aloha Aina, and taking care of this beautiful island where I grew up. And if other people are interested or passionate or care about this kind of stuff, please contact me, reach out to Zero Waste Kauai, get involved, because we need your help so much.
Yeah, the community is critical to the success of it. So I know a while ago, so you told me a while ago you were doing some work regarding Burning Man, right?
Yep.
Was that Zero Waste related, or was that more so kind of consulting on the side? Or
the work that I do out at Burning Man is actually construction.
Oh,
okay. You go out there, and I work for a really amazing mental health organization, and who's out there kind of making sure everybody's safe and not going through any kind of intense. Burning Man's kind of an intense experience for anybody who's heard about it. It's kind of like being on another planet, and I love what that organization does, and so I go out there and I build really amazing, beautiful structures for them, and yeah. There are other events that I've worked on the West Coast. There's one called the Oregon Country Fair. They are essentially a zero waste event. They are amazing. They have an insane system for how they deal with trash, and they have a big team to help them deal with it. So there are really cool, innovative ways to deal with trash out there for these quote-unquote festivals.
Quote-unquote festivals, there you go. And then how about, I know there's a good amount of cinema on the island, so you grew up here. Have you ever tried to do any kind of zero waste for if people are shooting here? Has that opportunity ever came forward?
Yeah, some of the first paid gigs that I got working for Zero Waste Kauai was getting hired by Disney and Universal and the big dogs in the film industry. They hired me on to be an environmental consultant for them and help them reduce their trash output and increase how much they were composting. Film industry is pretty intense. They throw away a lot of stuff, and they burn through resources like crazy. And I'm gonna wax philosophical here a little bit because I can. And it's just amazing to me that we have money in the society to spend $100 million on filming everything that was done on Kauai for a recent Disney film that happened here. Was around 20 to 30 minutes of the film, and I'm sure they spent over $100 million to do that.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have all the money in the world to make movies that we sit and watch for 2 or 3 hours and think are stupid and then go home and continue with our lives, and yet there are people who don't have, you know, safe roofs over their head or healthy food in their bellies or access to good education or healthcare. And so kind of trips me out. I got to deal with their trash. That's what I do. I dig through trash all day.
Yeah, there we go.
And there was some really cool stuff. Disney was willing to recycle some of their lumber. And so I was able to get about 20 tons of lumber to Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, wow.
Which went towards affordable housing on the island. So there's some positive stories in there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that the film industry is pretty environmentally intensive. But I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to get involved and help them to reduce their environmental impact.
No, that's awesome. And it's really cool, at least, that they were able to bring you on like that, hire a local who has the experience and they're trying to reduce their input. But I get what you're saying. So I know you got to get out of here. So to close, what are some ways you think individuals can kind of do their part regarding waste management and what they buy?
Great question. Thanks for asking. I think what we started with, which is changing. This is going to be about like a cultural shift. And I think here on Kauai we have amazing culture that I love and appreciate and respect and don't want to change. But we do need to think about the way we, you know, for me, every time I go Pulihale, I stop at Ishiara Market and I grab some wasabi poke, and it comes in that little plastic tub, and it's difficult to do anything about that. But if I need some stuff and I'm gonna, you know, order something on Amazon or whatever it might be, buy something at the store, I try and think about what I need. Do I really need that? There's some things I do, and so I have a footprint, an environmental footprint too, but. Changing the way we live and the way we buy stuff, what companies we choose to support. So just encouraging people to just have that kind of awareness in their mind about what their money is going towards and what's going to happen to the stuff they're buying after at the end. That is one of the really important ones. Composting. Not sending your food waste to the landfill is huge, has a huge impact on the local environment, on Kauai's soil and water table and ocean health, and the community on the west side. And, you know, gotta show our love to the uncles and aunties out there.
Got you.
And then I'm gonna say maybe the most important thing that people can do, and one of the more challenging things for our generation, is to get involved with the political process and vote. What somebody told me once was, you know, we could try and get all the kids on this island to not use plastic water bottles, and it wouldn't be nearly as effective as getting a legislator to change the laws about how much plastic we bring to these islands. There's some really exciting legislation at the state level about single-use plastics, styrofoam, food waste, all kinds of stuff like that. And I don't think that the government's going to fix all of our issues, and I understand that a lot of people don't have a lot of faith in the government. I'm not, I don't even want to get, I don't even want to engage at all about the national government and all the stuff going on there, but I do believe that we can have an impact on our local, county, and state level laws and politics. And so it's about, you know, next year will be an election cycle. There's some really amazing people running for office who care about the community and the Aina, and they want, and they're going to do everything they can to help change the way things are. And so find out who those people are and vote for them. Find out who the people are who are not doing that stuff, because we got many, many decades of good old boys not taking care of the community or the Aina. And so find out who those people are and don't vote for those people. And support, you know, people who are going to help us transition. And so, yeah, get out there and vote. Be part of the legislative process. It's hard at first, but once you dig in a little bit, you'll figure it out.
Exactly. Well, Jesse, we got into touch with a lot of good things, and I just wanted to say thank you for coming on. And how can our viewers, you know, reach out to you or Zero Waste Kauai if they want to get involved?
Yeah, we are in the process of updating our 10-year-old website from a super not that great to look at website to something really beautiful. So in a little bit, check out zerowastekauai.com. Find us on Instagram and Facebook, Zero Waste Kauai. And reach out to me personally, too, because I'm always down to have these conversations and talk with people about what we can do. I'll share my contact info with James, and he could maybe put it on the podcast info. So check out your device. Look below. You find me.
All right. Well, thanks again, Jesse.
Mahalo to you, James. Thank you.
Mahalo.